I know. Everyone's like, I don't want to promote my business on my personal profile. It's not the place where I do business. And you're right. It's not the place where you do business. But like, if someone's interested in working with you, they're probably going to stalk you on Facebook, which is totally normal. We all do it. And they're probably going to friend request you. So why not have your Facebook profile? Again, this is your personal profile set up for lead generation, right?
Welcome to the Raising Her Game podcast. If you're hungry for results and ready to raise your game in life and business, then this is the podcast for you.
This episode of the Raising Her Game podcast is brought to you by the Elevatory Academy, an intensive 12-month personal coaching program designed to help you start and grow a successful small business the right way.
And if you're ready to immerse yourself in a business coaching program that tackles the serious stuff and has you covered from every angle with 360 support and all the tools and resources you need to succeed, then please come and book a chat with one of our program advisors at theelevatory.com/academy.
But for now, let's get into this episode. Hello and welcome to episode 73. It's Flory here with you today. And today we're going to be talking about something super important that's going to pertain to each and every single one of you who is tuning in right now in this very moment. And that is lead gen, or lead generation, as some like to call it. Because let's get real here for a second. Who does not need a good lead gen strategy? I mean, let's be honest. And furthermore, I feel like we all need them on autopilot, especially lately, because every single marketplace is becoming increasingly more congested. So I'm super excited and I cannot wait to dive into all of this with lead gen strategist Allison Hardy. It's so great to have you here, Allison.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, I'm super pumped. Now, just before we get into it, just quickly, I wanted to read out a recent review that we received about the podcast from Healthy Families, who say, I loved listening to the Raising Her Game podcast. It's not only inspiring, but has given me practical tips to take my business to the next level. Well, Healthy Families, we love knowing that we can inspire you and also give you all the practical tips to help you raise your game, which on that note, let's get into this. So, Allison, how is it going? I want to hear everything about what you do as a thriving mompreneur, because I know that's your jam and that your passion is all about helping other moms in business.
Yeah. Well, first off, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. And yeah, I help other mom entrepreneurs because, quite honestly, that's the season of life I am totally in right now. I have a 6-year-old and a 20-year-old. And so a lot of my time working is doing the whole mom life, work life juggle.
Yeah.
And my business started because I got laid off at 6 months from, you know, what I thought was my dream job. And I had created this business that did not work for my life as a very pregnant mom and then a new mom. And it became my passion to really help other mom entrepreneurs figure out their businesses and how to make them actually work in those mom cracks of time that we all have.
You know, it's funny because something you may not know about us, so, is that before we became the Elevatory, we were called Business School for Moms.
Oh, I didn't know that. No.
Yeah. And so when I came across you and I read more into you and your expertise and what you do, I was like, oh my God, I love it. Cause it just brought back the flood of memories that that was once for us in terms of Business School for Moms. And yes, we're still moms, but we've just opened the doors to all female entrepreneurs from all walks of life. But I can certainly relate to a lot of I could certainly and can certainly relate to a lot of what you're saying. That's for sure.
Yeah. You know, it may not be my business forever. I mean, I always work with moms as my family gets older. But right now, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I so agree. Okay. So today, I really wanted to bring you on the podcast and lift the lid on your insights when it comes to lead gen, because I know that this is one of your key specialties. So let's dive into this. I've got a lot of questions, of course, because it is such a talking point, this whole element of lead gen. And I'm sure that I saw you nodding your head when I was like, you know, the marketplace is becoming more and more congested. And I'd love to hear your insights on that. Like, do you find that yourself as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're in kind of this really interesting time in just history in general. I think people are really kind of pushing aside the idea of a traditional 9-to-5. I know with, for example, like raising prices of college tuition, like college is becoming more and more far out of reach for people, or people aren't willing to take out as much student loans. And so I think entrepreneurship is really going to be something that a lot of people really turn their head to. And they're like, this could be something that's a really good solution for me, you know, coming out of high school, or, you know, like you have life changes, like becoming a mom, or you're an empty nester, like entrepreneurship might be something that I want to explore simply because of the way kind of like our cultures are shifting. So yeah, I think the marketplace is becoming even more saturated. And I actually think it's a really good thing, because that means that there's a need for your business. That's validation for your business.
Yeah.
So when you have competitors, it's people that, you know, see a valid need for what you're doing.
Definitely. And so to take that one step further, when it comes to lead gen, I'd love to kind of hear from you personally in your business. Like, do you focus on attracting and building leads both from a paid standpoint as well as organic, or is your focus more on one or the other?
Right now it's on paid just because of my season of life.
Yeah.
But I encourage my clients to have both organic and paid traffic, because I think that organic is your audience, right? It's the people who are already watching you. It's the people who are interested in what you have to say. So theoretically, they are more qualified than paid traffic sources, like to like a cold market. It's like Facebook ads, for example, to maybe like a lookalike audience, or to an audience that is similar to you. Those are cold people who don't know you.
Yeah.
And so I find that conversion rates are a lot, is it higher or lower? They're harder to get. I can't remember which one it is.
Yeah, conversion rates are going to be lower.
Lower. Yeah, they're going to be lower with a cold traffic. But it's people that you would have never have met before if it wasn't for this paid traffic source. Whereas organic, conversion rates are going to be a whole lot higher because people already know you.
Yeah. There's more of a know, like, and trust factor, because they've been following you and they know more about you. They're more invested in what it is that you do. And I totally agree. So I'd love to kind of, I know that you have a bit of a framework as such when it comes to lead gen. And I was wondering if maybe you could walk us through this framework, and also maybe shine the light on whether this framework is particularly related to organic or paid or both, so to speak.
I think the framework is really related to both, because I think it all starts from basically the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's your belief. So that's like the first step in my framework is belief. So you actually have to believe that this will work for you. And I know this sounds like kind of woo and
hoity-toity, I love it,
fluffy, but like you have to actually believe what you're doing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, people are, number one, are going to see right through you. And number two, like, what's the point of you? What's the point in like your business if you don't actually believe in it? Why would anybody pay you their money if you don't believe in it? So you have to get like the mindset around the fact that you are here to serve. You're here to do big things. You're here to make an impact on not only your family, but other people's families. And so you need to believe that what you're doing is like super, 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 super important. And I think that when you can really get into that mindset, the next steps I'm going to tell you about will be different than if you're like, I'm kind of invested in this. I think this will work. You know, you have to like know it. Like you have to know, like, I'm going to get, I don't know, 100 people on my email list this month, because I know that what I'm saying in this freebie and this funnel, whatever it is that you're doing, matters, or your product, right? You believe in this product that you have. So that's the first step, is belief.
Yeah. And I'm going to jump in before we move to the second step, because I absolutely, for those of you who are watching this on our YouTube channel, I'm nodding my head at literally everything Allison is saying. Namely, because for those of you who do know, like, and trust us, who are students of ours, you know, you'll know that for us, mindset is a really huge thing. And I love that you lead with this as step one, because I quite frankly could not agree more. You know, if you don't believe that you can do this, who's going to believe for you?
Right.
Like, you got to back yourself, right? So Yes, just reiterating how totally agree with you on that one.
And okay, so the second step is language. So you have to actually speak the language that your ideal client is speaking when you are, you know, doing any sort of marketing, but particularly when it comes to organic lead generation and paid lead generation. When someone comes across your content, you have to be saying the words that they say, not like the words that you think they say, but the actual words that they say. So an example for my business was early on, I would say things like, increase your conversions by doing this, and you know, give like some steps. And everybody was like, no idea what you're talking about, Allison. Like nobody commented on anything. Nobody downloaded anything. Nobody did anything. And I was like, who doesn't want to increase their conversions? Like, I don't understand where the disconnect here is. And after like, you know, doing some digging, I realized that my ideal client, based on the stage of business that they were in and who I was serving at that time, had no idea what the word conversions meant.
Yeah.
So I was like talking at them and I was giving them all this stuff and they're like, I have no idea what you're saying.
Yeah.
So as soon as I started saying, try this to increase your sales, people were like, oh yeah, let me do that. And that's the only word that I changed in that text. So it just like, you have to speak the language that your ideal client is speaking. And that comes from actually listening to them, asking them questions, doing your market research, getting them on the phone, serving them where they are, and recording like what they're saying.
Yeah, literally,
and then
right?
Giving it back to them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I so agree. And to add like layers upon what you just said, I mean, like you said, not only recording it, but I love like in a survey, you know, asking like a couple open-ended questions, not too many, because otherwise you will basically, people are not going to want to answer your survey if you've got 10 open-ended questions. Too hard basket. That's right.
Yeah.
Got to make it easy. But say you have a couple and you know, those two questions and one of them, you're really asking them about exactly what are your pain points, right? Mm-hmm. When it comes to your business. And that's where that person, exactly like you just said, might be saying, well, you know, I'm having a really hard time driving more sales. And you literally, like you just said, lift that language and like drop it into your copy. You use their language so that when they read it, it totally resonates with them. And they're giving you the answers. They're doing the work for you if you just know the questions that you need to ask, right?
Absolutely. In my Facebook group, I do this. So when people come into my Facebook group, you know, you can prompt them with a series of questions. One of the questions is, if you could wave a magic wand in your business and change one thing, what would it be? And it's like pure gold. I record every single response in a Google Doc, and then I create content around those topics. Yeah. And it works. It works really well. It makes that person feel like I get them, because I do. I understand them because they're in my Facebook group. So like, they tell me what they want information about. I create content for them, custom tailored to them. And they don't, you know, they don't necessarily know it's specifically for them, but it makes them feel like, yes, she can actually help me. How do I learn more?
Yeah. Yeah. And they feel heard and understood. Like, and that builds trust too, right? Because if you come across someone who, you know, you read their copy, and we have this happen a lot as well, you know, where they'll come across our sales page and they'll literally say, I feel like you were talking to me in a room full of people. Like, you literally highlighted on every single one of my pain points. And that's when you know you've absolutely nailed it, right?
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Cool. Okay, so belief step one, language step two. What's step three?
So step three is create. It's create a post, create an email, create a Facebook ad, create your Instagram story ad, whatever it is. Create based around, number one, then belief, knowing that you are here to serve in a big way.
Yeah.
And number two, around that language. Speak to them and meet them where they are and show them that you can actually help them and have a clear call to action.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Love it. And how do you know what to create in terms, like, is that where you go back to kind of doing a bit of research to understand what their pain point is, and then you create an according lead magnet, so to speak, that really addresses those pain points? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Love it. And then step four, what follows?
Step four is implement. And this one's, again, pretty easy, like the create one. So implement is have the call to action and have them go somewhere. So whether it's book a call, whether it's download my freebie, whether it's listen to my podcasts, like have that implementation and then have the steps for them after that. So let's say, so we're all talking, like I'm talking about driving traffic and getting leads. So ideally you really want them to be on your email list. Like that's like the holy grail here.
Yeah.
So if the call to action is listen to my podcast, in the podcast, invite them to download your freebie. Like, think about the journey that they can go on to eventually get over onto your email list. So if it's listen to the podcast, maybe your commercial, your mid-roll commercial is your freebie, or it's sponsored by your freebie, whatever it is. Have the freebie front and forth, like there for them to download.
Yeah.
If it's read my blog post, have your freebie in your blog post. Have the content be similar to that of your freebie so it doesn't seem weird that you're promoting it. And have it there. If it's download my freebie, it's download your freebie. Like, have the stuff there to roll them over onto your email list, because that's the whole, like, that's the whole point of your social media outlets. If your Facebook group, your Instagram account, anything you do on social media, it's a lead generation tool. So use it in that way and get them over onto your email list.
Yeah. And I want to add to that too. I think so many people get so caught up on like followers and fans and all this stuff. And I think that it is important to some degree, but that is not what's going to drive your sales. Like, because tomorrow, you know, Facebook changes or your account can be disabled for whatever reason. I've seen that literally happen to business owners who have had, you know, tens of thousands of followers from one day to the next. Boom. Mm-hmm. The aim of the game is to get them on your email list, because that is your asset and nothing's going to change that. It's also, you know, today you post on Facebook and it's crickets 99% of the time, even if it's like the most compelling post you've ever done, because you haven't put money behind it. Whereas an email, you are landing in a person's inbox. And yes, you know, there's no denying that there is, you have to compete to have that person open that email, but a lot less competition, a lot less, right? And so I think it's really important to note that to anyone who's listening, you know, the aim of the game, like Allison has said, is get them on your email list, because that's where the money is. That's how you're going to monetize your leads fundamentally.
Yeah. And two things about email lists is, number one, you get like in front of people. It's them saying, I want this information. It's not like just a random social media post they're going to happen to come across, right? It's more guaranteed that they're going to see it. And they can always opt out of it. Like, they can always say, I don't want to see this anymore. And they can unsubscribe, and that's fine. And you can automate that. So you can send them, you know, a series of emails day after day, or every 2 days, or every 4 days, whatever you want to do, that's automated. So you know that you're showing up and serving them through this email funnel in a big way, even if you're, you know, not around to do that. It's all automated and done for you.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's important to note that there's certainly ways that you can, and it's something I've spoken about on the podcast in the past, that there are ways that you can create an experience that's automated that still has a personalized element to it. And I think I just wanted to add that caveat, because a lot of people, you know, they hear the word automation and kind of the brakes go on. It's like, oh, well, I don't know if that's going to work for my audience. But the thing is, honestly, it will. And there's ways of getting around this in such a way that is authentic and that is going to resonate with your audience, no matter who your audience is. Because quite frankly, as your business grows and scales, you can't sit there and write, you know, 10,000 emails out every day. It's just not going to work. So you do need to come up with a way that is scalable and that is streamlined so that you can, in due course, you know, grow and continue to scale your business, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Love it. Okay. So we've talked about belief, language, create, implement, and then what follows?
It's scale. Scale this thing. So once you figure out, right? Once you figure out what works, let's say maybe you were leaning mostly on organic just because that was the stage of business you're in. You were, you know, doing these active posts every day and like seeing what works, seeing what doesn't, tweaking, adjusting based on like comments, likes, all that. So you now have like this kind of formula that you've developed. Now it's time to put some money behind it, and it's time to work on some paid traffic. Because like, if you want your business to grow quickly, you got to pay for some people.
Yeah.
It's the fact of the matter.
That's right. That's the nature of the beast today.
Yeah. Yeah. So relying on organic traffic, like, yes, you can get some serious traction organically, but there's only so much you can get organically. Really, you're going to start to see big results and big changes in your business when you can throw some money behind it. So theoretically, if it converted organically, it's going to convert just the same paid. So you can know approximately how much money to spend once you start to get some results to see like what your conversion rate is, what your opt-in rate is, all that stuff. And you can really make intelligent, strategic decisions based on numbers so that you don't have to think about it emotionally. Because I don't know about you, but anytime I could remove the emotion from my business,
yes,
things are a lot better.
Yes, yes. No, I completely agree. Which can be hard. Isn't that right? Hard. Like, yeah, because you can't see the forest from the trees. And it's funny, I often say that to our mastermind students. It's like, you know, hold on a second, like give yourself a break, because this happens to everyone. When you are in it, you just can't see it. And it's hard not to feel that emotional kind of connection and but also implication when something goes wrong, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, our businesses are so personal to us. Like yeah. Our businesses are.
They're like our babies. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And so you want it to be okay. You never want it to yeah. have pain or harm. And yeah. it's just not the reality of the situation.
Yeah. No, I totally resonate with that. Now, one thing that you talked about in this 5-step process, which I totally agree with, but I wanted to kind of flesh out just a bit further. So I love how you gave importance to the fact that you need to be conscious of the journey that your prospects go on and how to then get them on your email list. So you gave the example, for instance, like if they're going to read a blog post or if you're on a podcast, like, you know, drive the call to action to get to download that freebie so that you can get them on your list, right?
Absolutely.
And yeah. Just like as a little kind of key thing to consider for our listeners, obviously this episode is all about lead gen, but it is so important to then think about the journey that you take them on once they're on your list. Because I know I see so many business owners, they get them on their list and then it's like, well, what are you doing with them, right? And how are you nurturing them further? How are you creating more of that relationship and trust factor with them in the middle of the funnel and then converting them to eventually purchase? So it's just kind of a little caveat to get all our listeners thinking, you know, there is a real journey that you need to be conscious of from the very start to when Allison was saying, you know, you're driving that call to action in the blog post to the very end until they convert into a paying customer, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think that a lot of people forget about this stuff.
They do.
Because it's like, it's the stuff you don't see immediate results on. It's mm-hmm. the long-term game. And that can be hard to lean into when you're, you know, in the weeds with your business. But like having a funnel set up that nurtures and pitches for you.
Yeah.
Like that's what dreams are made of, as far as I'm concerned. Like you can sell things on the weekends. Or on while you're asleep, or even while you're like, you know, actively working with your clients. Like, that's amazing. You need to lean into that hard. And that's something, you know, I think it's, I have a mastermind, and it's for women who are striving for 6-figure businesses. Like, they are super ambitious women. And I can say the number one thing that they do not have across the board, not every single one of them, but like a lot of them don't have email funnels set up.
Yeah.
And it's because they've been like in their businesses, you know, they've been working in their businesses and like scrapping it together and bootleg or picking themselves up by the bootstraps and all that. Yeah. But like, you need these systems and this process in your business, because there's going to come a time when you cannot do that anymore.
Yeah.
And it does not work because life happens. So having that sort of journey or process, yes, or whatever you want to call it, is a vital part of our businesses.
Yeah. That, well, exactly right. For any business.
Yeah. Any business.
And I think that, you know, it's so important to, like, there's so many layers and ways that you can create that trust and relationship, especially now, you know, online, offline. Like, there's so many creative ways that we can do that, which is really exciting. But it's just about mapping it out. I think one thing that's also really important to emphasize here is that the whole process can seem really daunting. And look, I'm not going to lie. I feel like there are a lot of steps, as you know, Allison, as well, you know, to getting this set up. It is a bit of a beast. But I think the other thing that's so important to caveat here is that once you do this, it's like riding a bike. The next time you do it, it is so much easier, isn't it?
Of course. Yeah. And like, let's say you set up a funnel and 100 people go through and no one buys. And that's fine. It's going to happen. Let's be honest here.
Yep.
But what that gives you is really great data. So you can look back at the numbers and you can see, okay, this email, nobody opened. Like, I got like a 5% open rate. Okay, you adjust the subject line.
Yeah.
And then from there, you look through, okay, this one has 30% of the people open. Okay, that's not so bad. So let's look at the click-through rate. Oh, the click-through rate is really low. And you can like look at these numbers and tweak and adjust based on what the data is telling you. So, you know, once you set it up, it's kind of a matter of tweaking it and seeing what happens. Maybe the emails need to be spaced out somewhere. Maybe they need to be closer together. Maybe you need a longer nurture sequence. And it's all a big science experiment, quite honestly. So like go into it, not expecting a heck of a lot out of it. And if you get something out of it, that's great. But it's an adventure. It's a test. And really, I think a lot of stuff in our businesses are just one big test. So
totally. And it's only up from here, right?
Yeah. And once you have it up, it's up and you can move around from there.
Yeah, no, I really agree. And on that note of like data, I feel like one thing that often gets missed is the conversion rate of the lander.
The landing page?
Yeah. People don't think to look at that. And it's like, that's the gateway. So if it's converting at 10%, like there's your answer right away, especially if you're driving paid traffic to it. It is so important to ensure that you're converting well, and well is like, you know, 50% is really good for anyone listening. Yeah. So I think I love that you're touching on the importance of tracking the data and using that data to empower your decision making to improve the funnel, because that is, like the answers are out there for the taking. You just have to go and look at them, right?
Yeah. An example for that is I run Facebook ads for clients on occasion. It's like a very much so like on the down low thing I do for people. But, you know, I had this client and I've worked in her niche before. And so I did, you know, all the things that I've done with this niche in the past. And I was like, her ads were converting at like $13 an email address. And I was like, holy cow, what is going on? Like, what changed? And I started like creating new ads and new copy and new images. And finally I was like, oh my gosh, what's the landing page converting at?
Yeah.
Because I can drive as much traffic as I want to that landing page, but if the landing page isn't converting, that's why her costs are so high.
Yeah.
I looked at the landing page conversion. It was at 5%. And I was like, oh, thank goodness. It's the landing page, not the ads.
Yeah, there's your answer.
It's a good lesson. Yeah. And you know, if your landing page doesn't convert, your ad costs are going to go through the roof. So that's like the first line of defense, right? Is getting that landing page converting around 50%, if not more.
Yeah. I love it. Okay, cool. Now going back to lead gen and the lead magnet in itself, obviously we've talked about the importance of having, you know, a dual strategy with organic, having an organic strategy, but then also a paid traffic strategy. Mm-hmm. I know that you have a lot of tips that you share around where to best promote your lead magnet. And I'd love to learn from you on an organic front, some of those places that maybe we wouldn't think about doing, but that work really well. Because I know a lot of us forget about all the different touch points we have at our fingertips when it comes to online. And are there some more subtle places other than, you know, Facebook and Instagram that we should be promoting our lead magnet on, as well as our website, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot of places within Facebook, though, that people, and I would say Facebook, the Facebook that people don't know a lot about. So can I share two of them?
I would love that, please. Okay, cool. I'm jotting down notes. Here we go.
So the first one is actually in your personal profile. And I know everyone's like, I don't want to promote my business on my personal profile. It's not the place where I do business. And you're right. It's not the place where you do business. But like, if someone's interested in working with you, they're probably going to stalk you on Facebook, which is totally normal. We all do it. And they're probably going to friend request you. So why not have your Facebook profile? Again, this is your personal profile.
Yeah.
Set up for lead generation, right? You might as well. And if you're in Facebook groups, like interacting with people there, you're probably interacting from your personal profile. So like, let's make this thing the best it can be with while still being a personal profile.
Yeah.
But it's called a featured photo.
Yeah.
There's like a little grid left-hand side, right below like your profile picture. And you have the option to upload 5 like featured photos there. And it's kind of like a grid. Mm-hmm. So what you can do there is only upload one. And then it becomes bigger because there's not splitting space between 5 photos. And it can say something like, download my whatever your freebie is called, your lead magnet is called, download my whatever it's called. And then you can create like a shortened link, like a tiny URL or a bit.ly URL. And they can still click on that photo. And then the description pops up on the right-hand side. So it's not like spamming people with your lead magnet, but it's like just kind of offering it up. And it's right there underneath your profile picture. And it's a great place to invite people to do things. And so I'm always a fan of either putting your Facebook group or your lead magnet there.
Yeah, right. That's really
super easy.
Yeah, I like it. It's interesting. And do you know what kind of uptake? I mean, it'd be hard to track
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have people. So mine right now is my Facebook group. I recently changed it and I have people joining my Facebook group. I have about 10 people a day that join my Facebook group. And I always ask them where they found the group from. That's part of like the market research questions I have. And I would say like two or three of them a day say from your
That's a lot, profile. Right? I mean, that's like 30% that you wouldn't otherwise get.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
So I was like, okay, that's cool. That works for me. I can do that.
Okay, I love it. So the feature photo on Facebook, tip one, definitely something I haven't tried. So good hot tip. I'm going to look into that. Thank you. And what's another one? I'm like, give me more.
Yeah, so your Facebook group, in those ask questions that you have, you know, so what happens is someone requests to join your group and then they're prompted three questions or up to three questions. You can upload three questions. So, you know, the first two can be really good market research. This third one, I always have it be like their free gift, which is your lead magnet. So you can say something like, as a thank you for joining our Facebook group, I want to give you the free gift that we all have. And it's a blah, 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 blah. Here's the link.
Yeah.
And people can download it right there from that question. So they're not only in your group, but they're also on your email list. Getting nurtured, getting served in big ways. And that's like the best of both worlds as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I love it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a really great hot tip that, I'm just thinking we hadn't done that because we don't have like an ongoing Facebook group. But for those who do, I think it's really compelling, like you said, because it is kind of the best of both worlds, right? You're nurturing, but also getting the email at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, cool. Now, just finally, before we start to wrap up, I wanted to talk about what makes a lead magnet compelling, because I think it's all well and good to create something that responds to kind of your research insights that people want. But I'd love to kind of touch on the subject of how the title of the lead magnet is really important. And I don't know if you agree or have any insights you want to share around that in particular.
It has to speak the language of your ideal client.
Yeah.
So I recently shifted from using the term. So I have a lead magnet called 33 places to promote your lead magnet.
Yeah.
So I recently switched from calling it a freebie to a lead magnet because I found that freebie was the term that I always used. I always learned. That's like how I learned to speak about it. But not everybody did. And I think now as business coaching has kind of shifted and evolved and things have gotten a little bit more polished.
Yes.
It's not so rough around the edges anymore. Like you need to have a more polished kind of product, I think, if you're doing business coaching. And so the term freebie, I think, is kind of old and lead magnet is what people are now using.
Yeah.
So like I shifted that. Once I kind of had that realization. And then I always find numbers help.
Yes.
So like your roadmap for your six-figure business, that's one of a freebie I have. 33 places to promote your lead magnet. Like I find that numbers, and if it seems like it's obscure number, like 33, people are more interested. Like if I said 10 or 50, it's not as interesting for some reason as 33. So the language that your ideal client is using, and then like something that kind of catches their attention, like a weird number or a brand, like kick ass, like people love, you know, like punchy words. And like your brand is very like unique, like that term is different and it makes you stop and think. So anything that you can like be a pattern disruptor, I think is kind of the key here.
I really agree. And I think that whole element of being specific, like you said, and using the numbers to break up the copy makes it sound so much more impactful. And it makes you want it that much more. Because like, if you just said, you know, my top tips to your where you can download freebies or something. What was the name of it?
33 places to promote your lead magnet.
Yeah. So what if you had, you know, my top tips on where to promote your freebie versus
boring.
That's right. You know, versus your title. It's like, what do you think I'm going to opt in for? Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's just one key takeaway for anyone who's listening. You know, be very mindful of the title that you give your lead magnet, aside from the fact that it actually has to deliver some great value and give a bit of a taster of, you know, how great it is to work with you and whatever it is that you do. It's just really important to nail that title because otherwise you won't even get people opting in, right?
Yeah. And you know, you can always poll your audience. So you have a freebie idea, you know, it's good, you know, it's interesting, but you don't know what to call it. Poll your audience, ask them. They're the ones that are going to download it. So might as well get their opinion on it.
Yeah. Love it. All this research talk. It's just really like, you're speaking my language.
I'm a big nerd. So I really love it all.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page. All right. I love it. So Allison, in terms of where to find more about you and what you do, can you share with us some of your hyperlinks, please?
Yeah. So you can join my Facebook group. It's called the Six Figure Mompreneur. And that's just on Facebook. You can search the Six Figure Mompreneur community and it'll pop up.
Okay.
You can visit my website, AllisonHardy.com.
Okay.
And you can find me on Instagram. That's how you and I connected.
Yeah.
My handle is Allison_Hardy_.
Yes. I love it. I would also just want to caveat for Australian listeners that it's mom. Printer, M-O-M.
Yes. Not mum, mom.
Yes, correct. Not mum. So an important caveat there. Okay. Now for our listeners to get your hands on the show notes and to learn more about Allison, you can head over to theelevatetree.com/podcast. And Allison, I'm going to put you on the spot here because we normally end with a bit of a parting thought based on what we've discussed today or just something in general when it comes to the business journey and sharing, you know, a great insight with our audience. Over to you.
Yeah, I love this. So my parting thought is you can have the business, like you can have any business that you want. You can have a super successful business. You can have a hobby status business. You determine the success of your business and what you want out of it based on your actions, mm-hmm. how you treat your business, how you treat yourself, and how you show up. So whatever you want out of your business, you determine that success. No one else does.
Oh, I love it. Very insightful, deep words. I love it. Okay. Now to our listeners, if you love the podcast, please make sure to leave a review. We appreciate it so much. And that is a wrap. So Allison, thank you so much again for your time. It's been a lot of fun connecting with you and getting our nerd glasses on, talking all things lead gen.
Thank you for having me. It was super fun.
It's been a pleasure. All right. And to our listeners, ladies, as always, remember to elevate your business game.